Well, I'll tell you something. This is an exciting day. There's so many amazing things that we get to do as a church, and this is one of the most exciting ones that we get to do. We had a baby dedication a couple of weeks ago, but now what we're doing is we're welcoming people who are actually taking out church membership. Now, I did say to our membership class, and those who are taking out membership, if you would come, please, and just stand across the front at this time. I did say to those who had taken our membership class, I said, you know, we are just thrilled when people choose to come to church. And so if you are here today and you found your way here into this church, we're thrilled that you're here, and we trust that you'll feel a great welcome. And we're thrilled that you've come at all, you know, rather than stayed at home and enjoyed paper or coffee or whatever else you might do on a Sunday morning. But when people start to come with a little bit more regularity, we're even a little bit more excited than that. And members, if you can kind of center yourself on so make this the center, and then, yeah, because we don't want to rip this side of the auditorium off from your beauty. When people come even a little bit more regularly, you know, they start to attend more and perhaps start, we're thrilled about that. But I'll tell you, when people say, yeah, you know what, I'm coming, I'm attending regularly, but my desire is to take out membership in this church family. My desire is to commit to membership. Well, that's just, I mean, not just as pastors and as board members, that absolutely delights our hearts. And so I would like to have you, let's welcome those who are taking out membership in our congregation today. Sean, I just need you to shift down two. One, two, perfect. And we have Carmen Bourgeot. Many of you will know Carmen. Carmen has been with us at SPA for many, many years, and he found the Lord in 1977. What took you so long to take out membership? You're just a part of our family here. Welcome, Carmen. Good to see you. Sean Bowen also is married, and he came to know Jesus in October 1981, and he's baptized. The believer loves Jesus, and he's serving in Empowered Kids, and he wants to continue to serve with the International Children's Choir, Pastor Sue, so that's good, exciting news. And Sean, God bless you. We're glad to have you. Then we have Dennis. I guess Chantel's the next picture, but you don't have to switch because you two are one, so it's okay. We've got Chantel Brulot is married to Dennis Struzio. Now, Dennis, you're a PK, aren't you? He's a preacher's kid, so give this man a hand. That's good. And this young couple, they just love attending here at SPA, and I don't know if you know this, Chantel. Did you know that there's surprises at Christmas? Watch this. You think this is just, did you hear a trumpet? Is there any instruments there? Would you stand, please? Shh. Anybody there? Are they gone?
They're gone.
Oh, man, they're gone. There were instruments there. But I did that because, see, I got surprised. Somebody got surprised. But Chantel plays the violin in our orchestra. And she just loves it and wants to be involved in women's ministries and other things. And Pastor Jason, wherever you are, there you are back there, hi. I just want you to know, Dennis, he wants to be involved in technical ministries, so we're going to plug him in there. And that's what membership does. Like membership is not, you know, I'm gonna get a badge. No, membership is about involvement. Diane Dorothy Dunn, she's my secretary. And she is the wife of a pastor, and her husband went home to glory already. So, Diane, it's so good to have you here. She got saved. I'm going to have to ask you about this later. She got saved at a Christian Rider motorcycle club. So we're going to talk about that this week and see what's going on there. Mandu, it's so good to have you here. Mandu is from Nigeria, and she heard somebody preaching at a gospel church in Nigeria, gave her life to Christ, and she's been serving the Lord for many, many years, and she just loves here being at SPA, wants to be involved in the choir, Pastor Jason, so that's very exciting. Now, Joyce is married, and she's from Rwanda. I'll tell you something, Joyce, there's many people in our congregation who really have a story. Joyce has a story, and at 16, you know, there was that whole Rwandan genocide that went on. I'll tell you, this lady has lost everything. I mean, everything in the genocide. And she found herself alone with her little brothers. If you ever get to hear Joyce's story, like maybe Pastor Jason will put this story on a video one night. And I don't know, Joyce, I haven't asked you about that. But I mean, she has a story of the miracle-keeping power of Jesus. And Joyce is loving just being involved in SPA. And she's involved at the Welcome Center and also as a greeter. Tracy is here, and he accepted the Lord back in September of 2000. And you know what happened? And this is what's so cool. Like when Pastor Jason's talking about taking that invitation that's out there and giving it to a friend? I mean, we need you, church, to do that. We've printed these invitations so you can do it. So sign up your tickets. Bring some friends next week. Come tonight for the kids' musical, which is just awesome. But you know what happened in Tracy's life? He saw the change that happened in his friend. And when he saw that change in his friends, he said, I want to accept Jesus. And he just loves SPA, and he wants to be involved, Pastor Karsten, in SPA life groups. And so that's exciting. Let's see who else here. This is Jason Norris, and he's a very sound man. I want you to know that. And what I mean by that, he is a sound man, but he's also one of our sound men. he serves up in the sound booth. And he accepted Jesus when he was six, about 1994, 1995. And this is so cool. He was awake one night, and he felt led to accept Jesus in his heart. August 2000, he was baptized, and he's just loving attending SPA, and him and his wife are both actively involved in ministry. So God bless you. Welcome to have you. David is from Nigeria, and he accepted his Lord and Savior in May of 1982 after answering an altar call. He was baptized back in Nigeria, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And both David and Femi, they just love attending SPA, and they want to make SPA their church home, and they want to take out membership. So we just are so happy for both of you. These are good things to say. Now, Femi wants to be involved in the Active Adults ministry, as well as being a greater, and with the women's ministries, Wanda. So just look after that. Many of you will know Mim Ritter. You know, Mim, now Mim's mom also, and dad, I mean, her dad was a pastor, and then her mom pastored right here at Southside. She pastored our German church, and she was serving when we actually kind of moved our German church into the chapel, and we transitioned from German to English, and we have a wonderful, if you know anybody that likes a hymn service, we have a hymn service every Sunday at 9, and people that really want that, we have that every Sunday at SPA. But Mim found the Lord at the tender age of 5 at a camp meeting in Ontario, and she recommitted her life between 11 and 12. I want to ask you the heinous sins that you committed as a pastor's daughter from 5 to 11 or 12, but I'm sure they were nothing like my life. Anyways, she was baptized by the Lord and former attended one of our sister churches, Hope City, but she is taking out membership here at SPA, and we welcome you, Mim. She's involved in Connection Cafe, Life Group, Heritage Hour, Wednesday Night Suppers. Just like any PK, she's a busy girl for Jesus. God bless you, Mim. And finally, we have Desiree. Desiree, say your last name for me, because it's a good one. That's what I said, exactly. And he's single. He's single. Ladies, he's a good-looking man right here. Come on. He's from Wanda, and he's a student at the U of A, and he grew up in church. He was baptized by immersion August 8th, 88, and he just loves SPA. You might notice Desiree because he serves in the choir. And so, church family, I'm going to just ask you to listen to the... Yeah, you can give him a hand for sure. Just going to ask you to listen to the... to the profession of these folks, and any board members and wives and pastors and wives that are here, if you would come down to the front, because we're going to pray in just a moment. But those of you that are taking out membership, is it your intention here today just to take out membership and to be equipped by your pastors at SPA for Life? If it is, please say yes. Those of you that are taking out membership today, is it your intention that you will support SPA faithfully with your prayers, with your tithes, with your offering, and with your service? If it is, please say yes. And finally, those of you that are taking out membership, is it your desire today that as you become a member of this church body, you will speak well of the pastors, you will speak well of those who are in leadership, you will speak well of the programs and the ministries that are running in this congregation? Because here's the deal. Where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. And you will not allow things like negativity and gossip to proceed from your lips. If that's your desire, please say yes. Congregation, I want you to stand, please. Extend your hands towards these. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for everybody that's in the house today. I want to thank you, Father, for each one that's come here. And as I've already said, we're just thrilled that they're in this house. But today, it is a joy. And as I look across these members, I want to thank you that SPA is a church for every nation and every generation. And Lord, you've made us a congregation with people from over 50 birth nations. And I'm asking today, Father, once again, that in this house there will be a congregation of over 100 birth nations, Lord. And we know, Father, that as these folks are coming alongside of this body, that they're coming with gifts and they're coming with callings of God. And now we as pastors and leadership team, we lay our hands hands on them, and we release them to ministry in this place. We release them, Father, the hopes and the plans and the dreams and the purposes that you have gifted them with for this body as they commit to membership. Lord, we want to see you do great and mighty works, not for our glory, but so that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and that this gospel of the kingdom would be known to the ends of the earth. So I pray your grace, your blessing, and your plans and your purposes on each one of these. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness today in Jesus' name. And let's give them a great big hand welcoming them into membership today. The Lord bless you. Members, new members, you may be comfortably seated. Thank you. All right. Well, we are coming again to an amazing part of worship in our church expression. And I want to say to you, if you're a guest with us, I don't want you to feel any obligation to give money. This is something that we do as church family. And I want to say thank you to you. Now, here's what's going to happen during Christmas. The world marketing machine is going to go into full gear. And they're going to tell you that you need this and you need that and you have to buy this and you have to buy that. And they're going to say, you know what? You can have this, no interest. You don't have to make any payments for the next 12 months. And they're going to tell you that you need to buy temporal things. Everybody say temporal things. I want to thank you as a congregation, and especially as we come to the end of the year. It's amazing that we live in Canada. It's a nation that actually recognizes our charitable giving. So I want to thank you for a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in the tithe. Everyone, please say tithe. Tithe is the first 10%, and it goes into the general fund of the church that you attend. So whatever you make on your check, it's so simple to deduct 10%, and I've got that on my envelope today. And now this Sunday also, I want to thank you for your offerings. Everybody, please say offerings. Every Sunday, every first Sunday of the month, excuse me, we take up offerings for our missionaries, and we have a $350,000 annual missions budget. Now, during this month of December, I'm asking you as a congregation to take a look at where we're tracking for budget, and then just to say, God, what can I do to be faithful? I want to tell you this as your pastor. You want to tithe, because God's going to bless you. God said it'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you can't contain it. And you want to participate in offerings, because God is trusted us to take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. And so you're going to see in your bulletin today, one of our missionaries is the Home of the Good Shepherd, and there's some information for you. But I'd like you in this month of December, when the world is telling you what you need and what you need to buy and what you need to get and what's valuable, I'd like you to listen to the words of Jesus, please. And I'd like you to consider how God has blessed you over this month. And I'd like to ask you, if you haven't begun to tithe, would you begin to obey the Lord there? It's very important. And if you can help us in our offerings, that would be so well appreciated. You might notice that we've cut back some of the pews here in our house. And I want you to know that the changes that we're making are to reach people for Jesus. Those of you that perhaps have noticed the cross that we've illuminated, that has always been here, but we've illuminated, like, we need money to do that stuff. Do you know what's happened since we've illuminated that cross? I've had people come to this church just because we illuminated that cross. And we've seen people give their life to Jesus Christ because they saw that cross and came to that church. I was sitting 2 weeks ago in the Connection Cafe, and I was sitting with a young lady who's just wanting to give her heart fully to Jesus. And she said she was on the bus at night, and she drove by, and she saw our logo, Spa. And she said, wow, there's a spa in there. I'd better go check that out. And we are a spa, gang. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you believe that, say amen. And we are a spa for life. Would you just say it with me? Spa for life. That would be Southside Pentecostal Assembly. But when we say spa, it's like when I tell people, you know, I'm a pastor. Well, really, where? I said, well, I go to spa every Sunday. They say, spa? I mean, people that, and it's a connection point with people that don't know Jesus. So I want to say thank you for helping us. We're going to be installing our cameras. Our cameras are now in the house. And thanks for those of you that volunteered for media. We have your names. We'll be getting in touch with you. And in the new year, these cameras will be up, and it will enable us to take the gospel into the internet and just to do the ministry as God wants it to be done in a church like ours, in a city like ours, for the glory of God. But ministry costs money. Missions costs money. So at the end of the year, I'd like you to listen to these words from Jesus. Because the worldly marketing machine is going to be in full swing. Here's what he said. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Here's the deal. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I'll tell you something, friends. The more you're committed to Jesus, the more you give, the more you're going to love this church. The more you're going to love the work of God. The more you're going to be amazed at what God does in your life. So, Father, as we come now to bring your tithes and your offerings, we worship you. We remember, Lord, today our missionaries, and we thank you for them, and we pray your grace and your blessing upon them. And Lord, I just pray that you would make us a faithful people. God, I pray as we're considering when the whole world's screaming at us everywhere we go that we need to spend our money on this, would you let us prioritize the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives according to your Spirit working in our hearts? So I want to thank you for this congregation and what we're going to do in this month of December. Now would you take these offerings and bless them for the glory of Jesus? And the church said, thanks, saints, for your giving. Ushers, come. We're going to worship the Lord in the tithe and the offering. If you're a guest and you had a praise report or a prayer request, don't feel obligated. Put that in at this time. We'd appreciate that. Thank you. Chapter 2 is the text that we're going to be looking at today. It's on page 734 of your Blue Pew Bible, if you don't have an NLT with you. Matthew chapter 2, page 734. Would everyone please turn there? Now, Leon was just playing a course called Waiting Here for You. And there was a time between the Old Testament and the New Testament where there was a time of silence. It was for hundreds of years. There was no prophetic word, and the people of God were looking, wondering when the prophets were going to come. They were wondering when the Messiah was going to come. So it was a time when people were very, very hungry. I'll tell you, friends, for all that we do have in 2019, spiritually, this is a time of hunger. This is a time when people are looking. This is a time when people are searching. And so as we're talking over this Advent series on who Jesus is, would you please say Jesus is? He is the wonderful counselor. Now I want you to read this text that's up on the screen with me. It's written about 700 years before Christ was born. And let's read it out loud together. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now today we're going to be looking at this word that Isaiah prophesied about who Jesus is, Wonderful Counselor. Would you please say wonderful? Now, wonderful, that word is something that we need to apply to our understanding of God. It should be that we, when we think of God, that we have wonder, that we have awe, that we have an amazement, because as much as we can know God, we can never know God because he's God. We can never know him completely. We can never know him fully. So there's this sense of awe. There's this sense of wonder of who he is. And that God has chosen to make himself known. That's, listen, this story, no one, if they were trying to make up a story, no one would have written it like this. A virgin giving birth? A virgin who's not even married? Giving, like, who would make that up? A very young and unauspicious couple in a very awkward place. There's a wonder to the Christmas story. And when you begin to understand the wonder of God, when you begin to understand that as a believer, even as someone who's received Christ and knows the Lord, when you begin to understand his wonder, then you realize why you need his counsel. When you know that he is the wonderful one, when you know that he is the one of awe, when he is the one who is all that there is, then you understand why you need his counsel. And so today, I'd like us to consider this waiting period that happened between the Testaments. And I'd like you to stand with me, please, and you can follow along as I read out of Matthew chapter 2. Again, it's Matthew 2, so you can follow along in your pew Bible. I will read it. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men, please say wise men, from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. And he learned from them that the time when the star first appeared, and then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we live on the other side of the Christmas story and we know so much. We've heard it so often. We've read it. We can kind of know what the next line is that's coming. But Jesus, you are wonderful counselor. You are the wonderful counselor, Lord. And I pray for even the person here who perhaps has known you the longest and served you with the greatest passion. Lord, I pray that there would be that sense of wonder that would be revealed again to our hearts. And God, I pray for each one in this house that there would just be that sense of who Jesus is. He is our wonderful counselor. And so, Holy Spirit, come and would you make very real to each heart, the living Christ today. I ask for his glory. And the church said together, please be seated. When you think of Jesus being the wonderful counselor, and you think of following him as the wise man did, and you think of the hunger that there is in our land for the revelation of God, I want to point out four things that the counsel of God will do for you. First of all, his counsel calls you to seek. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking. His counsel, when you have an idea that all that there is, all of this world and all that has been created has been done by someone other than a big bang. When you have that revelation, His counsel, the counsel of God, because the Bible says even the created order testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ. His counsel causes you to seek, and these wise men came from eastern lands. It's very interesting that they didn't come from Jerusalem. You see, because in that time of the Old Testament, the people of God were the Israelis. The people of God were those who were the children of the promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And yet we see that the heart of God, as the Messiah is coming, is for those who are afar off. It's from those who are from eastern lands. And it says that they were wise men. And you know, tradition says that there were three wise men, and we don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. We assume there were three because there were three gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh that were mentioned. But we don't really know how many there were. But we do know that they were strangers from the promises of God. And so when you understand the wonder of God and the wonder of His counsel, you understand that God has a heart for everybody. It doesn't really matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what your family lineage is. It doesn't matter whether you grew up in the church for as long as you can trace that tree back, or maybe you're the first one that's ever come to seek after God. But when you understand the heart of God, you see that His counsel calls you to seek, and it includes everyone. Would you please say everyone? That's the heart of God. It causes you to seek. And when this revelation of who Jesus is was presented, we see that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come. I mentioned it already when we were receiving our new members this morning, that with our having about 56 birth nations in our congregation presently, we are praying that more and more birth nations will come. And I want you to know that as a pastor, every time we get a new birth nation in this congregation, it reminds me of heaven. It reminds me of heaven, because when we gather around the throne of heaven, there's going to be people from every tribe and every language and every nation. If you believe that, would you say amen? And there's something beautiful about when people come together, not just based upon their heritage. Listen, I can come together with Italians, and I can have like risotto, and I can have spaghetti and meatballs and lasagna, and I can even have some dessert called crostaway, and all Italians like that stuff. But when we're gathering not just based upon our cultural heritage, but when God is moving in our hearts, and you see different nations coming together in this house and loving one another and loving Jesus, I mean, it's a picture of heaven. And when there's a unity in that, there's a power of God. And so, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, would you please say the world, has come. We have an obligation. And look at what the prophet said out of Isaiah 9, where we already read. The people who walk in darkness. So you see, the Messiah was not just for the people of the promise. It wasn't just for the people of the covenant, but it was for people who were walking in darkness. They will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, so not just for Jerusalem, not just for the house of Israel, but for the whole world, a light will shine. And that light is shining today. He's the light of the world. When you seek Him and receive from His counsel, you also understand that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. For the Scriptures clearly state that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born. And so prophetically, it tells us that the Messiah, and this is what the answer was that the wise men gave to Herod who was asking. It tells what line he would come through. It's through the house and the lineage of David, and Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah, and he was born in the city of Bethlehem. He's the bread of life. Now, I don't know about any of you. Is there anybody here that you just can't resist the smell of fresh baked bread? Is there anyone here like that if you come into your house and, you know, if fresh baked bread is going on, is there anybody here that can resist taking a big wad of butter on that fresh bake? You don't have to butter the bread. You just put it on and it goes, and then you eat it. Is there anybody that can resist that? You know, in the Old Testament, God gave the Israelites manna from heaven. And you know, Bethlehem means house of bread. It means house of bread. And those of you that responded for healing and for miracles today and for direction, I've got good news for you. The one that you responded to, Jesus Christ, He is the bread of life. He's all that you need and more. And you might have heard this prayer, but I want to encourage you in this Christmas season, whatever you may be going through, I'll let you finish the prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Right. And so when you understand that there's a wonderful counselor and you seek him. You know that he's the light of the world. You know that he's the bread of life. And Jesus Christ is also the living word of God. I'm so thankful, friends, that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion where we're following after some smart guy who claimed to speak for God. But Christianity comes from the very heart of the Father, where the Father sent his Son, born of a virgin, and he lived the perfect life, and he died on the cross, and if that would be the end of the story, there would be nothing to tell. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, and Jesus Christ is alive. If you believe that, say amen. When Jesus was 12, it was tradition to go to the temple, and so his parents took him along with all of the parents of Jerusalem to the temple with their families, and they came home. All the group came home, and the mom and the dad thought Jesus was there. But 3 days later, everybody say 3 days. Anybody know what else happened 3 days later? There's nothing in this word by accident. Nothing. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple. And they were like, has anyone ever lost their kid? I remember when Rebecca was really young, we were shopping in Kitchener in the Bay. And you know, Rebecca is such a cute girl, and she just loves to have fun. And so there she was at about 4 years old, and we were shopping in the Bay, and all of a sudden she disappeared. Like she just disappeared. And so, you know, Mama Bear started running around and saying, call the cops! Like, shut the doors! And everything was shut down. And you know what happened? Wanda was trying on something, I forget what, in ladies' wear. And so all this hubbub was going on, and Rebecca had just stepped back into the wardrobe, and she came out smiling. I'll tell you something. When you're a mother or a father and your young child is missing, it's five-bell alarm fire. They discover that for 3 days, Jesus has been gone. They go back and they finally discover him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And these are the elite of those who seek after God. They're in the temple. These are the religious rulers and the religious leaders, and they're hearing Jesus, the living word, at 12 years of age. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and at his answers. And Christian, I want to tell you, whatever it is that you know today, God has much more. And when you understand that he's wonderful counselor, his counsel calls you to seek. Secondly, his counsel calls you to see. His counsel calls you to see. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. When you understand that Jesus is wonderful counselor, he calls worship out of your life. Now, worship is that which is ascribed to God and to God alone. And so here are these strangers, these wise men that came from a long way off. And you know, we're not sure exactly, even, like I said, how many these wise men were, but we're not even sure what they were. As you read in the commentaries, some say, well, they were wise men, they were mathematicians, and they were philosophers. Others say they were like fortune tellers. They were like magi. The word actually means magi. So some say they were just like fortune tellers. But the good news is that they wanted to see God. And here's the good news, friend. No matter where you are from, God wants you to see him. And God will guide you to him. His counsel causes you to see. And when you do see the Lord, you can trust the Lord Jesus. You can look to the Lord Jesus to guide your life specifically. Not only did this star, call them from far away, not only did this star call them from pagan roots, if you will, but it led them all the way to Bethlehem. And it says this. It says, the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and it stopped over the place where the child was. And again, I'm amused sometimes as I read the commentaries and what they say. You know, you have some commentators saying, well, this star was a supernova, or this star was like Halley's Comet. You know what? There's no natural way to explain this star. This star was like what happened in the Old Testament, where it was a fire by night and a cloud by day. I mean, this star led these men all the way from that far eastern land right over to the exact place where the Christ child, everyone say child, he wasn't a baby when the wise men came. He wasn't in the manger. He was in a house and probably around 2 years of age. And so this star was a supernatural thing. Listen, you can't rationally, humanly explain Jesus. Somebody explain to me the virgin birth. It can't be done. You see, God calls us to trust him, and this star caused them to find the Christ child. And Christian, I want you to know, you can trust the Lord to guide your life every day. Listen, he has every moment of every day of your life planned out in his book before you were even born. You can look to the Lord, to Jesus, to guide your life. And if you're one here who sees the Lord and you know the Lord, you need to understand something, that even though it's only by faith, this is the greatest thing that can ever happen to a human being. I didn't put this picture in my notes because I didn't want to be insensitive. But as I was studying, I ran across this thought, and this is what it said, and I will say it. It said that spiritual blindness is worse than physical blindness. I mean, it's true. But I didn't want to put it down because I can see physically. I didn't want to put it, like, I'm thinking if there was someone here that was physically blind, or even if you're listening to this message online, if you're hearing it, you know, I'm not wanting to be insensitive to that, because that would be a horrible thing not to physically see. But I do agree that spiritual blindness is worse than physical blindness, because the consequence is far greater. And so if you're here this morning and you've come to know Jesus Christ and you've made that faith commitment to him and you would say, yes, I'm a child of God, my sins have been forgiven, you understand that that's the work of grace. That's not something you did on your own. The less than it was that these wise men found Jesus on their own. It was the star that guided them. It was the Holy Spirit that allowed you to see. And you can and you must pray, Christian, for people to see the good news of Jesus, because there's a spiritual warfare. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. How many of you know good people who know the Christmas story? They know about Jesus. They know about Christmas. They know about Easter. They know about the resurrection. They know John 3:16. They know about that up here, but they're not born again. How many of you know people like that? These are the ones we need to pray for. Some of those people are in your family. Some of those, it's your husband or your wife. It's your brother or your sister. It's your niece or your nephew. You need to pray, because Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, and they are unable to see. Even though they understand mentally, they're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So his counsel causes you to see, and Jesus will guide you. We need to pray for people to see the good news and understand that Jesus Christ alone gives the gift, everyone please say gift, of eternal life. But like any gift, it needs to be opened. God's done everything that he can do. He's paid the highest price for you. And when you open that gift, this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. That's hard for us to see, isn't it? Because people, as we understand life, have it, whether they have Jesus or not. They go to school. They get married. They have jobs. They drive in cars to work. They have relations. But they don't have life eternal. Jesus Christ alone gives the gift of eternal life. So when we understand Jesus is wonderful counselor, his counsel causes us to seek. His counsel causes us to see. And Christian, I want to commend you to this. His counsel causes us to search carefully. Herod said, he was lying, but this is what he said. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? Or rather, this is the wise man speaking, I'm sorry. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. His counsel calls you to see. And I want to just say this. Search carefully. I'm back in my notes. His counsel causes you to search carefully. Herod did say this. Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. Now, Herod wasn't telling the truth. Herod was lying. Herod was afraid, and wouldn't you have been, I mean, if you were a king, that somebody was going to worship another newborn king. I mean, Herod was a great builder. He's the one who built Herod's temple. I remember when we were in Jerusalem, we saw some of those cornerstones, and Herod had a marking on those cornerstones. So he was a great builder, but he was also ruthless. And he was wicked in his exercise to hold on to power. But Christian, his counsel calls you to search carefully, no matter how long you've known the Lord. These wise men, they were filled with the joy of the Lord when they saw him. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. That's why they came. They came to worship the Lord. And I don't know how much they understood about Jesus, because they were strangers from a strange land. But the good news was that these wise men had prepared to bow down and worship the Lord. Now, when we, as believers, search the scriptures carefully, we understand something about Christmas joy. Christmas joy doesn't come December 25th. Christmas joy doesn't even happen during the time of Advent. The joy of Christmas happens in our hearts each and every day that we look unto Jesus. We will be filled with the joy of the Lord. If you believe that, would you say amen? And so when you understand him as wonderful counselor, it calls you to seek him carefully. And the promise of God is this: you will find him when you search for him with all your heart. Jeremiah prophesied it like this: if you look for me wholeheartedly, would you say wholeheartedly, please? And circle that in your notes. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And so as you understand God as wonderful counselor, and as you search carefully, the only way that we can really search carefully is in this book, the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I can only imagine that if we ever heard the Apostle Paul preach a sermon, we would have said, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. I can only imagine that if we were able to hear the Apostle Paul, because he was the man who trained up pastors and he trained up leaders and he went on missionary journeys and he planted churches. I mean, he wrote the better part of our New Testament, the Apostle Paul. I can only imagine that people would flock to hear his sermon. But I love what Paul said about a group called the Bereans when they heard his sermon. He said the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Imagine that. You know, if I was reading that today, this is what I would say, being where I live. And the people of Edmonton were more open-minded than those in Calgary. Just saying. If you're from Calgary, welcome. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. But here's why. They listened eagerly to Paul's message. Now, that's good. You know, I want you to know that every time I preach, and I'm sure that anytime any of our pastors preach, I'm sure Pastor Sue, anytime you're preaching and teaching over in the children's ministry, in Empowered Kids, every time I preach with fear and trembling. If I ever come to this pulpit and think, I've done this how many times before, I need to stop pastoring. And every time I come into this pulpit, I say, please, Lord, through whatever fumbling and bumbling I do, Holy Spirit, would you take at least one thing and make it real to the people that are coming to hear from your word? Because you know what? I don't want you to come and hear from me. I want you to come and hear from God. Amen. And it's interesting. You know, no preacher's threatened when you search the scriptures daily. Look at the commendation. They searched the scriptures day after day, Paul says, to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. I want you to know something, friends. In these last days, there's a lot of things that are going to be taught as the truth. But if you're going to show yourself whole before God, you'd better study this word daily. You'd better get to know this word. That's why we have Sunday Morning Alive every Sunday for children, and that's why we have inductive Bible teaching so that we can teach the word of God. We do that every Sunday here. And that's why we believe to preach in the mornings, and that when we're not doing musicals, we have an evening service called The Mix, Go Deeper, Reach Higher, where we preach the word of God. God's word is the foundation for your life. If you believe that, would you say amen? So when you know Jesus is Wonderful Counselor, his counsel causes you to seek, his counsel causes you to see, and his counsel causes you to search carefully. But finally, and this we emphasized with our members today, his counsel calls you to serve God. His counsel calls you to a life of service. Then they opened their treasure chests, and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Isn't it interesting that these foreigners who came from a faraway land came with gifts? I don't know everything that they knew about this child that was coming into the world, but they knew enough to get ready to give. They knew enough to prepare their hearts, and they gave him costly gifts. You know, when you think of gold, gold is a gift befitting a king. So they understood that this wasn't just a regular child, but this was a king. This was a kingly child. This was a Messiah. They understood that much. When you think of frankincense was a gift that you would bring to a priest in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, the frankincense, the fragrant aroma would always be going up there in the temple of God. And so when they brought frankincense, that was a gift befitting a priest. And they understood something about the godly element of this king. It was a priestly king that these wise men were coming to search out, and they prepared for that. Do you know what's interesting about your prayers, saints? When you pray, that goes up as frankincense before the Lord. That's right around the throne room of God. God bottles your prayer, and he goes, oh, I love that. He loves it when you pray. And they brought him myrrh. Of course, myrrh is that bitter perfume that leaves a light of gathering gloom. Myrrh is that which you brought to anoint a dead body. And so we see in these gifts of the Wonderful Counselor that they understood he was kingly, and they brought him gold. They understood that he was priestly, and they brought him frankincense, and they understood that this king was born to die, and they brought him myrrh. Jesus Christ was born to die. And when you understand his counsel, it allows you to serve God. You see, God gave the supreme sacrifice for you in his one and only Son. And when we somehow are able to understand the price of the cross, when we somehow are able to understand the value that God puts on our life by what he was willing to pay, by what he was willing to give for us, then somehow, by the grace of God, we need to say, Lord, make me willing to take up my cross every day and follow you. Lord, make me willing to turn from my selfish desires. Because listen, I'll tell you what, Christmas in the world is a very selfish place. But help me to turn from my selfish desires and follow after you. Everybody please say, Spa Serve Day. We're glad you're here, but there's a lot of people that can't be here today. There's a lot of people that can't be here. And so what we've done as a church is we have a list of people that they're either shut in or they've been bereaved and they can't be with us today. And it's such an easy thing that you can do. You can do it as a young person. You can do it as a single person. You can do it as a married person. You can do it as a family. We have 60 flowers that we've prepared for people that would love to be in the house of the Lord today worshiping. But on Spa Serve Day, all we're asking you to do is immediately following the service, go into the foyer, take one of those poinsettias, you'll be given the address, take it to the home, knock on the door. Now, if it was me taking it, it doesn't really matter if you do it today or not. But if it was me, I would be doing it today, because we don't want you to kill the plants, and I don't have a green thumb. I'm not the gardener. Just keep the plant alive. So take the plant to the door, knock on the door, say, you know what, we were thinking about you today, God bless you. And just want you to know that we're thinking of you and we're praying for you. So thank you. We have 60 plants and we need 60 people to take those plants. And I'll tell you something. As you choose to do that, you'll feel the witness of God in your life. As you choose to be obedient, you'll feel the witness of God. Because he gave the greatest sacrifice. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty he could make you rich. rich. You see, his counsel calls you to serve God. And the truth of the matter is this. I read this earlier when we were receiving our tithes, the Lord's tithes and our offerings. We are called to be storing up treasures in heaven. We're called to be storing up treasures in heaven. When we give, you see, giving your life to Jesus is not a prayer. Giving your life to Jesus is a life decision. Now, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we're going to be honoring one of my friends, Walter Sandrowski, who passed away. Now, in the 19 years that I've been having the privilege of pastoring this great congregation, I came to know something about this man. This was a man who didn't just pray a prayer and give his life to Jesus, but this is a man who lived a life of willing sacrifice. And I can't begin to tell you as a congregation, just as his pastor, and I didn't see everything, but as his pastor, the numbers of things that I saw in this man. And so for those of you that are able, I want you to come tomorrow at 11 in the morning. We're going to be remembering and celebrating the life of Walter Sandrowski, and we're certainly praying for Anna and Bernie and Lois. I see you on the back there. We're praying for your family at this time of your loss. But it's also a time of great joy, as you know where your dad is, that he's in heaven. Jesus said this, store up treasures in heaven. Listen, folks, that's a decision. I wrote my tithe this morning. Like, tithing doesn't happen. Giving and offerings doesn't happen. A church of our size doesn't commit over 300,000 to missions without you sacrificing. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And if you're here tomorrow, at 11, you'll hear me speak about some of the things that I saw in Walter's life that are treasures. And while Walter's gone on, I want to thank God that in this congregation there are young men and young women that I look up to. Why? Because you are storing up treasure in heaven by the way that you live your life. And I want you to know something. As you choose to live your life like that, not only are you doing it for you, but you're leaving a legacy for the generations that are behind you, because they're watching you. They're watching what you're prioritizing. They're watching what you are doing. And so may we be those who live lives of faithfulness in what we do. Because the truth about Christmas is that Christmas calls us to surrender all. Jesus said it this way, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the truth of Jesus, who is our wonderful counselor, is your eternal destiny is secured in the arms of Jesus. That first Christmas was a horrible time. If you were a mother of a young baby boy who was 2 years or under, because Herod made a decree. And it was just like in the time of Moses. Remember when Moses' parents had to put him into the Nile? Herod made a decree. We read the Bible stories like stories, but we can't even picture this. Every young boy 2 years or under is going to be killed. That's what happened. Now, here's what happens. If you're a Christian and you're killed, you get to go to be with Jesus. That's the good news. I guess God had more for these wise men to do, because it says this. I know they would have been in big trouble had they went back to Herod. But God warned them. Look at what the scripture says here. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Jesus, you are a wonderful counselor. When we begin to understand you as wonderful counselor, we seek you. We seek you. We bring our questions to you because we know that you're the one that has the answers. And when we seek you, Lord, thank you that we then see you. We see you, Lord. You give us spiritual insight in you. You give us spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom by which to conduct our lives. And God, I pray for each one here who has sought and who is seeing you. Lord, I pray in these last days that you would cause us to be those who search carefully. That we would not be those who take things lightly, but we would examine the scriptures every day and see what is true. And at the end of the day, Father, thank you that you call us to serve the Lord. There's no higher honor no higher grace, Father, than we could have than to know you and to make you known. So tonight, Lord, we want to thank you for our children. Jesus said, a little child will lead them. And we thank you for Isaiah Jones and this testimony. I just pray for anybody in this church that's free, that's available tonight at 6, that will come into this house prayerfully. And Lord, that you will reveal Christ to people's hearts. Lord, I pray that as we go out, we pray for the shut-ins as these 60-point setters go out, that they would be a rich blessing. Let the Holy Spirit go before us, Lord, as we do this act of kindness. We pray for Noel next weekend, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. There's invitations out there for giving to people. We do this not only for the choir and for our church, but we do this so that people might find Jesus. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate life. We love you, Lord. I pray you'd bless each one in the strong name of Jesus as we leave from this place, and the church said together,